10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall, your source for the truth and what's really happening today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to part two of News from the Wall 16, already in progress. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, in the remaining portions of this program, we are going to talk about events that are coming to this country, and I want to ask that you take the content of what you're about to hear very seriously, pray about it. I'm going to present a large volume of information. I'm not sure if it's going to take one or two more parts to finish this program, but I'm pretty sure it's going to take a lot of time because what I'm going to share is huge. I am going to share so many bullet points of what's coming to this country. Now, in my previous program and in my previous transcript release, we discussed and we went into detail on the different methods that God uses to communicate his warning. And when we look in the scriptures, we can see that there are many ways that God uses to warn his people. One of the most common ones is to use his messengers, his servants. In the Old Testament, he used prophets or wise people or scribes or high priests. And here in the New Testament, God also uses a variety of individuals. But he does it, folks. And one of the ways that he does it is he sends signs to the earth. And signs can be in various forms. One of the forms is token signs. And in my last transcript, I went into detail about it. We looked at the original Hebrew. We did a word study on it. If you have not read it, please go to my website and read it. But token signs are one method that God uses. Also, he uses riddles. And he uses parables. Parables are one of the tools that God uses to communicate to his children and at the same time to keep the message cloaked from those that are not the children of God. So a parable is able to reveal truth in plain sight, but the meaning of the truth stays hidden from those that do not love God or have his spirit, for those that are not followers of Jesus. Riddles, parables, and tokens, ladies and gentlemen. So when I had these four prophetic dreams, I believe that while they were glimpses of events that were coming, many of the portions of the dreams that I had are also layered glimpses. Some portions of the dream may happen over the span of several events in the future and over the span of time. So when I had the dream about the derailed trains, for several weeks I wrestled with it. I wanted to understand it, and I prayed constantly. And then one night before I was going to sleep, the Holy Spirit whispered something to me. And that's usually the way it will happen. When God gives me a prophetic dream, I seek him. I do not always understand it. And then out of the blue, the Holy Spirit will speak and whisper. And in this case, it happened right before I went to sleep. And the Holy Spirit told me to do something. And because I did it, it has opened up a whole new world of discovery. So as I share these things with you, I want to ask that if some of you can take this information and also make it an assignment of discovery for you, for those of you that are sleuths, for those of you that like to solve riddles, if some of you are gifted that way, and I know that some of you are because several times in the past, some of you have sent me emails that helped me in my journey of discovery. So I know that you're out there. So as I share, if you're able to uncover some things, please email what you find. I believe that what God gave me is what I consider an enigma that can decode what's going on in the world right now. The enigma, ladies and gentlemen. I know that that is a tall claim, but it is not an empty claim. And I believe that as we proceed, you're going to see what I'm talking about. Now, there's another thing that I want to share right up front. And I said it in the last portion, but I want to say it again. Because of the present judgment of God on America and in the future, there are many categories of events that are coming. And these events are going to involve all of us. They're going to involve you. We are going to see society become unraveled. We're going to see portions of the country fall apart, fall into disarray, fall into confusion. We're going to see people who at one time might have had it together or appeared to have it together lose their self-control to panic and aggression. The coming portion of God's judgment is going to affect human behavior to the point where people are going to do some very crazy things. They're going to do some very wild things, bizarre things, evil things. And there are some people that are going to do some stupid things. If I can be blunt, there's no other way to put it, folks. I'm not trying to be mean, but that's what it's going to be. There are going to be some people who right now claim that they are Christians and they can easily sit with other Christians and sing worship songs or sit at meetings and talk about how they're Christians. But when the big stuff starts arriving, they're going to act like anything but a Christian. Their fruits will argue with their claims. I know that these words on the surface are not words of comfort, but my friends, they are words of reality. They're words of warning. And the reason that I am sharing them is because there needs to be an understanding up front, beforehand, on how we plan to behave. How do you plan to sustain yourself? If you're a father with a family, if you are a parent, how do you plan to sustain yourself if you have children? Are you planning to leave where you are right now? Are you planning to relocate? Many people will not be able to relocate because the events are going to catch them off guard. The events will catch them when they're at work or on the weekend or maybe at night or when they don't have the money to relocate. And if that's the case for some of you, there will be no other choice than to shelter in place where you are right now. Many people will have to shelter where they are. And I'm mentioning these things because as I talk about the derailed trains, we are going to look at locations on the map. And there are some locations that are going to be hit much, much harder than other locations. There are some locations that are going to be the bullseye for very, very incredible catastrophic events. They're the targets. For some places, the landscape may change. For some places, the land is going to be leveled. For some places, they may be underwater. Some places will have a lot of bullets flying. Some places will have people acting like rabid animals, full of demons. Some places will experience individuals who are acting like thugs and bandits and pirates and outlaws who just want to wreak havoc on their neighbors and on others or even on one another. Folks, these are very strong words, I know, but I have to say them. I have to share them. So right up front, I want to say this, folks. I understand that things are going to get weird. I understand that there's going to be a societal breakdown. I understand that eventually the New World Order is going to clamp down and place a noose of martial law around cities and in different parts of the countries and tighten that noose. So we have to understand what our response is going to be. We have to know it up front. When parts of the country become agitated, the regular heart of man is going to want to respond as any man would. But the thing that I need to say up front is choose your battles. I'm not saying run away from every battle. I'm saying be wise and choose your battles. Because choosing wrong will get you killed. And if some people say, well, that doesn't bother me, I'll just go to heaven. Yeah, but what if you have loved ones depending on you? Do you? Also, for the record, I share it often, but I want to share it again. I am not a pacifist. I believe in self-defense. I believe that it's a man's job to defend his wife and his family from pirates, bandits, thugs, outlaws, etc. I don't believe in just sitting back and letting evil hurt a loved one. And I am pretty sure that the majority of you also cannot. Now, for those that may wonder and ask the question and say, Nathan, you're not a pacifist then? No, I'm not. Then why do you tell us that we can't act like patriots and fight, react to the government when they start turning squirrely? Well, here's why, folks, because as American society falls apart out of the ashes and out of the flames, the New World Order is going to rise up. And America is in the heart of the beast. America is the heart of Babylon. America is the one that's going to pull the chains, pull the strings, and fund the evil that is going to be exported throughout the world. And since America is the heart of the beast and the heart of the New World Order, it's going to be hard to fight that because this is Bible prophecy. The Bible says it's going to happen. We cannot stop Bible prophecy. I notice a lot of individuals who are well-meaning are on the internet and they're saying, you got to fight back. the government, when they try to take away our guns, etc. Well, folks, how are you going to beat the New World Order, the one world government, the beast? It says in Revelation chapter 13 that authority was given to the beast, and the dragon was the authority, but it was allowed to have it for 3.5 years. The advice that Jesus gave us when it comes to surviving this period of time is to run to the mountains, become invisible. And that's where the promise of Daniel is going to come in, where the people who do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, supernatural exploits. But they're not the John Wayne type of exploits that most people would expect. They're going to be the type of exploits that are going to be full of faith and miracles. They're going to be the type of exploits that we saw occur in Soviet Russia with the underground church, or in communist China with the underground church. Now, I know that not everyone is going to listen to this advice. Some of you are dead set that you're going to fight no matter what. And if that's the case, then I'll see you in heaven. Because, folks, here's the deal. Eventually, we're all going to be on the other side. I just want to last longer. Because the longer you last, the longer you can help others. But it does say in Revelation that those that kill by the sword will die by the sword. So they'll go to heaven in a blaze of glory. And some of you will do that. And I guess that your mind is made up and that's the way it's going to be. Now, I don't want to digress too much from this program and talk about all the different scenarios where we should fight the New World Order, or we shouldn't, or where we should have the Red Dawn type mentality. Or, folks, I'm not going to go into that. That's another program, because we can talk about that all day long. And I know for some of you, it's fun to talk about. Some of you have this idea that when that comes, somehow it's going to be a romantic getaway of Xbox Live, where you get to live in the video game. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, do not desire, do not want the day of the Lord. We shouldn't want it, because it's going to be horrible. It's going to be terrible. It's not going to be romantic. War is terrible. So for the record, I have to say, and I have to side with what the scriptures tell me. I have to side with the book of Jeremiah. And since the United States is going to mirror Judah when Babylon arrived and took them under siege, they were not able to fight Babylon successfully because God said it's his judgment. And in the same way as spiritual Babylon takes over America, it is also God's judgment, and we're not going to be able to defeat it. So because we cannot defeat it, that means that we have to understand what our mentality is going to be. Because fighting the New World Order is a losing proposition. I mean, after all, ladies and gentlemen, think about this. They have satellites up in space where they can see what you're doing. They have the ability to see through the walls of your house. They have MRAP vehicles and drones. And my friends, you can't beat that, at least not in the natural. Based on what I see in scripture, based on the attitude that I have repeatedly experienced when I'm having prophetic dreams, it's best to believe in Psalms 91. It's best to trust in God to hide, to be invisible, to be cloaked in God. And it's also best to flee, if possible, to flee in advance, if possible. Jesus said, go to the mountains. So what does that mean? That means that relocation is actually a wise thing. Nathan, I can't relocate. Okay, then you're going to have to trust Psalms 91. 1,000 will fall at your left side, 10,000 at your right, but it will not come nigh your dwelling. That's going to have to be your promise. So while I have stated up front that I am not a pacifist, I do believe in wisdom. I do believe that flight instead of fight is very wise. So when it comes to the New World Order, it's better to run and hide, or it's better to be invisible, or it's better to be as innocent as a dove. It's better to appear harmless. It's better to be harmless. Because folks, this is also what the situation is going to bring. While Babylon is eventually going to be parading the streets with their iron and steel fortified weaponry, you can't fight the Godzilla of the New World Order because they're big. But at the same time the New World Order is rising up and getting situated, we're also going to be society falling apart, and we're also going to experience and witness and observe anarchy. We're going to see the anarchists of society, the Katrina thugs, the looters, the zombies, the gangs of mutants, the rogues, and at some point the invaders who will try to do you harm. And those are the ones that I'm talking about. I believe in defending yourself against those types. Now, folks, I know that my words cannot address the complex situations that may arrive, because there's a chance that it's going to become very complex. I know that it will. And some of you who believe in an appeal for calm may find yourself at some point backed into a corner. Then what? If that might happen to some of you, it's going to be at that point where you're going to need to be able to hear the voice of God, to know His will, to have His understanding, because it's going to get ugly, folks. Now, I'm trying my best to talk about all of the particulars in advance so that we'll hopefully have the right mind going in. And again, I do believe in self-defense, folks. I teach my family to believe in it. And likewise, my wife believes in it. My children know that I'm going to do my best to protect them. And my children are taught to protect one another. I'm stating this so that it is clear where I stand. So, let's move on. For those of you who are new listeners and you're not real familiar with this ministry, over the last several years, I have been sharing in many, many programs what's coming to America. I have gone into great detail of events that are coming. And I have shared over and over that America is going to rhyme with Old Testament Judah when Judah was invaded by Babylon. And those accounts can be found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 39, as well as other places in Scripture. And Jeremiah used his profession, his calling, for 4 decades to warn Judah that it was coming, to appeal to them, to change their hearts. But they didn't listen. And eventually, Babylon showed up and destroyed Jerusalem. And when they showed up, it was bloody, it was ugly, it was horrible. And the Bible gives us an account of what they had to go through. The book of Lamentations gives us a diary of what Jeremiah saw. At the same time that Jeremiah was warning, Ezekiel was also warning, but he was in a different location, but he was warning of the same thing. So, as I have tried my best to warn America that these things are coming, I have also shared that if you want to know what we have to look forward to here in America, all you got to do is read Jeremiah or Ezekiel or Lamentations, because we're going to rhyme with what is in there. So that's what I've been sharing. And over the past few months, God has opened my eyes to show me, it's amazing, folks, that the attitudes that they had back then in the Old Testament are very similar to the attitudes that we are seeing and observing here in America. For example, there was a very, very strong nationalistic, patriotic attitude in Judah. They had those who believed in Israel and Judah, and they said, there's no way anyone could ever attack us successfully. Couldn't happen. We're too strong. God loves us too much. God blessed Israel. We're God's people. We're His children. He would never allow it. And at the same time, there were also false spiritual leaders and clerics and prophets and priests who did not know God, who were frauds, who were imposters, who also echoed that sentiment. And they said, peace, peace. It's all going to be great. God just wants to bless you. He just wants to prosper you. Don't listen to those prophets of doom. So as a result, most of the people mocked and scoffed God's messengers. And today, we have that same thing happening. There are people out there in internet land who hate Watchman's Cry. They also hate the other Watchmen that are out there. But while they are full of their hatred, here's one thing that they're not doing. They're not getting ready. They're denying the warning message. And if some of you may be listening to this so that you can have more fodder for your crusade of hate, I feel sorry for you. And I feel sorry for your family, because these things are already arriving. And those that mock and scoff will have no remedy. They will be destroyed. And God's going to make sure of it. In our last program, News from the Wall, I shared some portions of Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 20, where we talked about how the south was going to rise up and how the judgment was going to start in the south. It was talking about Judah. God was showing them that the south was going to be attacked. And as America rhymes with Judah, I also shared that in the southern portion of America, we are also going to see the war rise up. And we're going to see it occur in several different forms. We're going to see it occur in civil war. We're going to see it occur in political uprising, in patriotic uprising. So Ezekiel chapter 20 talks about it. And I have also shared that civil war is coming, and we're going to discuss that also on this program. But there's another portion of Ezekiel that I want to read, and I have to do it because as I start dissecting my dream about the trains, I'm going to make reference to the outline that we can also find in Ezekiel. And it's very important to get a hold of these elements that are found in Ezekiel. And we can find them in Ezekiel chapter 21. So if you have your Bibles, please turn there. If you're taking notes, write this down. It's very important, folks. I can't say this enough, to understand this outline. So I'll give you a chance, get your Bible, And I'm going to read some of these verses, and then we're going to talk about the train. So I'll give you a second to go do that. All right, folks, you there? Ezekiel chapter 21. Now, in our last program, I read a few of the verses at the beginning part of this chapter. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the beginning portions. But in the last program, I ended with verse 7. For those of you that haven't heard it, please go listen to it because I went into detail. But let me just read it real quick. In verse 3, God says to the land of Israel, "Thus says the Lord, behold, I am against you." He's talking to his children. He's telling Israel, "I'm against you, and I will draw my sword out of its sheath and cut off both righteous and wicked from you." So now let's apply that to America. America, God is against us. Why? Well, if you are awake, you know why. If you're a Christian, you know why. It's because we've gone past the line that God drew in the sand, the line of morality, the line of thou shalt not, the line of stop it, the line of don't do it. Our cup of iniquity is boiling over because the sins of the land have overwhelmed it. The song God Bless America no longer applies to this country because we're evil. So as a result, God is going to draw his sword out, and he is going to, now folks, please understand this. Verse 3, cut off both righteous and wicked from the land. That means in America, when this thing really gets going, God is going to have his invisible sword of judgment, and it's going to strike down the good and the bad, the righteous and the wicked, the weak and the strong, the just and the unjust. Now, I know on the surface some of you may argue and say, "Nathan, that's not how God is. God doesn't do that." Really? Say that to the victims of hurricanes and tornadoes and floods. God allows the rain to come and fall on the just and the unjust. And our duty as his children and as his remnant. Now, first of all, folks, let me qualify the word remnant. Remnant means the survivors. Remnant means the pieces that are left. Those that are left. The few small little crumbs that are left. That's the remnant. That means that in the large pool of the good and the bad, of the wicked and the righteous, there are going to be many that fall, that die, that get destroyed because judgment is happening to the land. And when God brought judgment on Jerusalem so long ago, there were some righteous people that died. There were children that died, pregnant mothers that died. Nathan, that doesn't sound like a loving God. Really? God has been begging and pleading through his messengers for years for us to repent, and it hasn't happened because people are living in la-la land in a bubble. A pretend of denial that God would not send judgment. But folks, it's happening right now. We're already in year 5 of this thing that started in 2008. But that was the preliminary parts. That was the introductory credits. It started with an economic collapse. So that's the famine arriving. But when God judges the land, he brings it forth in famine and in pestilence and in the sword and in the invasion of evil, wild beasts and demons. The rest of the judgment is coming, folks. The invaders are sharpening their swords right now behind the scenes. They're loading their weapons right now behind the scenes. The blacksmiths are pounding and building new weapons right now behind the scenes. The airplanes and tanks and missiles are in the factories being made right now behind the scenes. And they're getting ready for what's coming. But it's all getting ready now. And just because you can't see it, it doesn't mean it's not happening, folks. So verse 3 says, "I'm going to cut off both righteous and wicked from you." Verse 4, "Because I will cut off both righteous and wicked, therefore my soul shall go out of its sheath and against all flesh from the south to north." There it is again, folks. It starts in the south and it moves north. It starts from the bottom and it moves up. Why? Verse 5, "So that all flesh may know that I, the Lord, have drawn my sword out of its sheath, and it shall not return any more. Therefore sigh with a breaking heart, with bitterness before their eyes. And when they say, 'Why are you sighing?' answer, 'Because of the news.'" And then verse 7 ends by saying, "Behold, it's coming. It shall be brought to pass, saith the Lord." It is coming, folks. The judgment on America is coming. Now that's what I shared in the last program. But in verse 8, the word of the Lord came and said, "Son of man, prophesy, say to them, thus saith the Lord. Say, a sword is sharpened and polished." Verse 10, "Sharpened to make a dreadful slaughter." And that word dreadful means to butcher and slaughter. Several years ago, I had the vision of the Statue of Liberty being beheaded, and it was the hand of God holding a sword that did it. in the invisible realm, folks. God has a sword, but it gets played out in the natural realm through human agency, through invaders, through marauding gangs, through foreign armies that show up one day and burn the village. And God lets it happen because it's his judgment. Now, verse 10 has a very interesting word about God's judgment. Look what it says. The sword is sharpened to make a dreadful slaughter, polished to flash like lightning. God's judgment is polished to flash like lightning. That word lightning right there, if you look at the original Hebrew, for those of you that have the ability, check out what it says. In the original Hebrew, the word for lightning is barak. So God's sword is polished to flash like barak. Ladies and gentlemen, right now, the judgment of lightning is in the White House. And it's starting to wear down the people. How many are being worn out by the judgment of Barack? Barack Obama, God's tip of the spear, God's polished sword. In the natural, I would never talk to such a man, such a vile person. Yes, he's the president and we should respect the office, but as a human being, the guy is vile. He said, God bless you to the Planned Parenthood, to the abortionists, to the baby butchers.
As long as we've got a fight to make sure women have access to quality, affordable health care, and as long as we've got to fight to protect a woman's right to make her own choices about her own health, I want you to know that you've also got a president who's going to be right there with you, fighting every step of the way. Thank you, Planned Parenthood. God bless you. God bless America. Thank you.
He said, God bless you. Well, let me say this, folks. He wasn't talking about our God, about Yahweh. So when he said, God bless you, he was talking about Satan. Barack Obama gave a satanic blessing of Planned Parenthood. But I'll stop myself because I'm going to get mad. Verse 11, and he has given it to be polished. Talking about the sword. The sword's going to get polished that it may be handled. This sword is sharpened and it is polished. Folks, over and over, the sword represents God's judgment. But it plays out in bloodshed, in body bags, in statistics of those that have fallen. The sword is sharpened that it may be polished. Why? Now, folks, look at this, the end of verse 11. It is polished to be given into the hand of the slayer, the destroyer, the butcher. Now, who's that? Well, that's Satan. That's the spirit of pestilence, the angel of death, the one that God allows to walk up and down the streets during judgment day. And he allows them to cut down the prideful hearts of men. God allows evil, folks. And that evil is going to be set free in America. That's why I'm here speaking. So that you can be challenged to find your rest in God. And that can only happen one way. By repentance. By forsaking the ways that you've tolerated for too long. Folks, we're all in the same mess. Every one of us. If you're a resident of Babylon, we live in the mire of a society that pollutes and poisons the brain and the soul and the hearts with evil and defiled thoughts. But we have to rise above it. God offers this. He does not judge in a vacuum. When God judges, he also offers his remedy at the same time. The slayer is going to be walking up and down, but there's going to be those that are covered by his supernatural protection. God wants to hedge a fortified wall around his children. And that is the homework that is contained in this appeal, to find it. Verse 12, cry and wail, son of man, for it will be against my people. See, it's not going to be with joy that judgment strikes down God's people. It's not a happy thing. Cry and lament. It's going to bring sadness. It's going to bring heartache. It's going to bring brokenness, sorrow, grief, and anguish of soul. Cry and wail, son of man. It goes on. Terrors, including the sword, will be against my people. Terrors. Ezekiel 21:12 has the word terrors. Or another word, terrorism. In America, terrorism will be against God's people. Terrorism's coming. And whether it's done through rogue elements, or dignitaries of Satan, or Manchurians, or invading armies, or provocateurs, it's going to be one of the ways that America is going to come under duress through terrorism, whether false or real. But it's right here, folks. We can read it. Terrorism, including the sword, will be against my people. Now, we could also read into that. Could there be accusations of terrorism against Christians who are innocent or patriots who are innocent? Indeed. So this verse can be looked at a number of ways, and we can already see that that's what's going to happen. Homeland Security has listed Christians and patriots and freedom lovers and constitutionalists and those who are upstanding and honest accused as being terrorists. Therefore, the end of verse 12, therefore strike your thigh. Now folks, verse 13 is very vital to get a hold of. Ezekiel 21:13, because it is a trial. It is a testing. What this means, ladies and gentlemen, is that God is going to allow this season of judgment to test his children, his people. It's going to be a time of separation, to separate the sheep and the goats, to separate the real from the false, to separate those that are true from the liars, to separate the real ones from the imposters, to separate the wheat from the chaff, the sheep from the goats. And ladies and gentlemen, the number one way that determines the results of the scales of God's justice is our behavior. Our behavior during this time. How are you going to behave? How are you going to respond? How are you going to react? That's why I continually bring up the challenge of trying your best to be as innocent as a dove. Trying your best to have the love of Christ. To be non-threatening. It's going to be a time of testing, folks. And in order to pass the test, we must have studied in advance. The test always requires getting familiar with the material. Always. And the material that we must become familiar with are the things of God, the mind of Christ, the mind of His Spirit, His ways, the counsel of God, His Word, His statutes, His principles. Some of you have struggles with certain areas of your flesh or your emotions. Right now is the time to face it, to look in the mirror, to acknowledge it, and to ask God for help. If some of you have struggles with patience or loving others, unforgiveness, bitterness, and it's not dealt with, it will only get worse in the darkness. Verse 14, therefore, son of man, prophesy. Strike your hands together. Now, look at this, folks. The third time, let the sword do double damage. Strike your hands together, and on the third strike, the third clap of your hands, let the sword do double damage. Ezekiel didn't have a choice. He was commanded to clap his hands. And the purpose of this was to emphasize that the sword do very catastrophic damage, double damage. And for America, ladies and gentlemen, double damage is coming, if not worse. It is the sword that slays. The sword that slays great men that enter their private chambers. So even though some people think they can hide, if they're not protected in God, they are going to be destroyed. I know there's a lot of preppers out there who are building their underground bunkers, but if they're not hiding in God and they're in their private chambers, they're not going to be safe. It's a waste of time. Ladies and gentlemen, without God's safety, without His shield, without His hand, without trusting in Him as the fortress, those underground bunkers are a waste of time. Now, verse 15 says something very, very interesting. I want to emphasize what it says right here. And some of you that are listening could probably take this information and make it a study. I did some research on this. Let me read what it says and then let me share some thoughts. Verse 15, I have set the point of the sword against all their gates. This is talking about the gates of Jerusalem, the gates of His people. The people close their big oak doors. And they drop the beam across it. And they say, we're safe. We're protected. See, that's the mentality of men. We'll be safe. Our efforts will keep us safe. And folks, that's the tendency of men. And God said, I'm going to take my giant sword and the point of it is going to touch their gates. It's going to be against their gates. And their gates are going to fall. They're going to fail. They'll collapse. And the enemy's going to come through. That the heart may melt and many, many stumble. Ah, it is made bright, it is grasped for slaughter. The gates of America will be penetrated, and they will fall. Now, what are the gates of America? The gates of America could be represented as the boundaries in different geographical regions and points of America that may serve as arterials, as entrance points. And to be more precise, there are different parts of the United States that are known as gates. Or gateway cities. For example, I did a little search with the term gateway cities or gateway ports, gateway waterways, And it was real interesting, folks, because Seattle, Washington is known as the gateway of the Northwest. San Francisco is known as the gateway of the Pacific. Hawaii is known as the gateway of the Pacific. And the city of Katrina, New Orleans, is known as the gateway of America's trade. New York is known as the gateway to freedom and also the gateway to America. Los Angeles is known as the gateway city. Boston is the gateway city. And St. Louis is known as the gateway to the West. So gateway cities in America are more than a few. I'm sure there are a lot more. And according to Ezekiel 21:15, God says, I have set the point of the sword against all their gates. Not just one of them. For some people that say, well, New York is the gateway to America, that's the one that will be judged by God. New York, but nowhere else. Well, that's not what verse 15 says. It says all their gates. In addition to cities being known as gateways, there are also ports throughout the country. We have the West Coast, the East Coast, we have the Gulf of Mexico, and there are some ports that are huge in traffic. And the number one port in the United States, out of all the ports across the country, which one has the most activity? What do you think, folks? The largest volume of cargo. So there's 149 ports in the United States. But the one that has the most cargo volume is the port of South Louisiana, located in New Orleans. Isn't that interesting? The city of Katrina, Louisiana, has the biggest port in the country. And then number two, so Louisiana is known as the gateway to America's trade. They get the most because it comes in through New Orleans, and then it goes up the Mississippi all the way up to Chicago. Skirting eight states, and it goes all the way up to Chicago. Of course, it splits off. So what does that mean? That means that the middle of the United States, the Mississippi River, is responsible for the most cargo. Now, folks, did you know that? The mighty Mississippi. And what would happen if the mighty Mississippi was disrupted? What happened if cargo could not be shipped up and down the Mississippi? What would happen to the economy of the United States? It would cause a huge hemorrhage to the United States of America if anything happened to that port. And according to what we read in Ezekiel 21:15, I have set the point of the sword against all their gates. So does this mean that the port of South Louisiana and New Orleans is going to experience something catastrophic? Well, I don't know, folks, but we are going to talk about that further in this program. Now, the port that comes in second place is the port of Houston. The Houston Ship Channel. They follow a close second. Number three, the port of Beaumont, Texas, which is just a little bit north. So the top three are within just a few hundred miles of one another. The Gulf of Mexico serves the most. Isn't that interesting? And then number four is the port of Long Beach, California. And then number five is Corpus Christi, Texas. Number six is the port of New Orleans. Now, that's interesting. The port of New Orleans is number six, and the port of South Louisiana is number one. So how does that work out? Well, are they sharing the same area? It appears so. And as I was looking at the list, I noticed that out of the top 20 ports in the United States, 10 of them are in the south or in the Gulf of Mexico. 10 of them. Number one is the port of South Louisiana, then the port of Houston, port of Beaumont, Corpus Christi, New Orleans, and then the port of Texas City, which is next to Galveston. The port of Baton Rouge, the port of Mobile, Alabama, Lake Charles, Louisiana, Plaquemines Parish, Louisiana. I don't want to read all of them, folks, but I find it interesting that many of the cities that have been named as those that are the bullseye of a possible future terrorist attack also have ports, including Houston, New Orleans, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, St. Louis, Portland, Oregon, Tacoma, Washington, Boston, Chicago, Seattle, Honolulu, Indiana Harbor, Indiana, Memphis, Tennessee, Detroit, Oakland, California, Miami-Dade, Galveston, Texas, Louisville, Kentucky, Bridgeport, Connecticut. Why does that ring a bell? San Diego, San Francisco, Port Jefferson, New York, Buffalo, New York, Port of Richmond, Virginia, Minneapolis. And of course, I could go on. If you want to see the list of them, just Google list of ports in the United States on Wikipedia. But the reason I'm bringing them up, folks, is because I believe that this chapter of Ezekiel, chapter 21, gives us an outline of some things that we're going to see happen to the United States, including verse 15, where it talks about gates or ports that God's going to allow to be attacked. What does this mean? If this holds true as a comparative analysis of the coming judgment of America, then I believe that we can expect certain areas of the United States of America, including port cities, to be attacked in the future. Now, I don't have a date for this. I have no knowledge of how or when. I have no information on who would do it. The participants, I have no knowledge of that, folks. I'm sharing from the scriptures. Because when God judges, he does it in a powerful manner. Verse 16, now look at this. Swords at the ready, thrust right, set your blade, thrust left, wherever your edge is ordered. Now, let's stop for a second. God says that there are swords ready to thrust right and left. Now, this verse right here has several layers to it. On the surface, if you can picture a swordsman having a blade, he is going to wave the sword in both directions when he's fighting. It goes back and forth. So when the slayer or the destroyer who is a swordsman goes forth in their appointed location, they're going to be creating a swath with their sword to the right and to the left, back and forth. In other words, the sword's damage is not limited to the width of the sword. It makes a swath. And when we talk about the train derailments in a moment, I want you to keep this in mind, the swath of the sword. One of the things that I have been trying to figure out and understand is how large is the swath going to be when it goes across this country? How wide will it be to the left and right? So that's one layer of verse 16, but another layer. Now think about this, folks. Right to left. If you can look at a map of the United States and you can picture God being very large and he has a sword in his hand, if he were to wave the sword to the right part of the country, he would wave it to the east. If he waved it to the left part of the country over the map, he would be waving it toward the west. So from the east to the west to the east, God is going to go back and forth with his sword and judge America. So it's a directional thing. Nobody's immune. We have to find his protection. Now that's another layer. Now, a third layer can also be applied to this. In the land of America, in our governmental architecture, we have elected officials who are usually represented by one of two parties, the Democrats and the Republicans. And in America, the Democrats are known as the left, and the Republicans are known as the right. The right-wingers, the left-wingers. So in verse 16, it says, swords at the ready, thrust to the right, set your blade, thrust to the left. So what does this mean? This means that when America gets judged, God is going to judge the liberal Democrats, and he is also going to judge the conservative Republicans. No one is going to be immune. Now, I know that saying this may not sit well with some of you that are Rushbow listeners or listeners to Fox News or Sean Hannity or Bill O'Reilly or those conservatives who claim to be fair and balanced information. But ladies and gentlemen, the Republicans have been revealed as being also guilty when it comes to the stains of America. The Republicans are not innocent. There's a good chance that the majority of you that are listening would lean toward the Republican ticket because they are more toward the right side of the morality scale, which is true. Republicans do have more of a tendency to fear God and to accept Christianity and to be a part of the faith of America, as opposed to the liberal left wing, who historically seems to be the same group of people that will vote for immoral legislation, anti-God legislation, baby killing legislation, gay legislation, transgender, etc., etc. So the left, folks, it's easy to judge the left. We can do that all day long. Of course they are against God. They booed God at the Democratic primary. But at the same time, the Republicans have, well, folks, look where we are after 9/11. George Bush was the president, and he voted in much of the backbone of the police state and martial law measures that are now becoming an oppressive force in this country. It was laid down by the likes of George Bush and Dick Cheney, and Donald Rumsfeld, John Ashcroft, and all of those other quote-unquote Christian Republicans. And I noticed that when it comes to morality and liberals, well, they wear their morality on their sleeve. There's not much there. But when it comes to Republicans, they wear their morality hidden from public view. But when we remove the smoke screen and the window dressing, the Republicans conduct their immorality in secret with call girls and brothels at night when no one's looking. So folks, let's be honest here. the Republicans are just as guilty as the Democrats. And I like what Gerald Celente has said. He said he's a political atheist because both sides are a bunch of liars and thieves. And you know, folks, I agree with that. The Republicans and the Democrats have proven themselves to be liars and thieves who are destroying this country and turning it into a giant police state with big ears and eyes that spy on their citizens. And you know what, folks? God's going to judge it. So verse 16 says, swords at the ready, thrust right, set your blade, thrust left. This thing's going to be sure. It's going to be complete. And the only ones that will be able to find their remedy will be those who attempt to become God's remnant now, in advance, to get a hold of Psalms 91, to get familiar with God's word and repentance. And let me finish with verse 27. This is God talking to Israel, but let's apply it to America. Overthrown, overthrown, I will make it overthrown. It shall be no longer until he comes whose right it is. That's talking about Messiah and his second coming. And I will give it to him. This nation's in trouble. Most of you know it's true. So where is the point going to land? What areas are going to see mayhem? What parts of the South are going to rise up? Which cities? Which ports are going to get attacked? Which areas are going to see terrorism? You see, folks, in Ezekiel 21, we read all this. Which areas will be tested? Which of you will find yourself in a test? These are hard questions, and the visitation has an appointment. The schedule has been set. Can God delay it? Will he give us more time? Can it be stopped? I do not think it can be stopped. We are beyond that. But can it be delayed? Can God give us more time? A few more weeks? A few more months? A few more years? What do you think, folks? I'll take more time. I have more work to do. I want to make more programs. I want to write more articles, more reports. I want to share some of the stuff that God has given me with you. I want more time. I want to get situated. And I know that a lot of you want to get situated. Any delay that we are experiencing, we need to look at as a benefit. All right, ladies and gentlemen, so don't give up. As we examine the derailed trains, I'm going to take out the map and we are going to draw some lines in the next session. So this is going to be the end of part two. Please go to part three. This program already in progress.